诸位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone. 阿弥陀佛。
好，那我们今天哈要接着讲这个下卷，上次呢介绍一下下卷整个的概括，那这一次呢就开始要进入所谓的经文的内容了。
So today we're going to continue our discussion on the second chapter of the sutra. Last time I gave you a brief outline structure of the second chapter, and now we're going to actually look at this text more in detail.
那这个要讲这个部分哦，其实我个人蛮紧张的哈。那我们的翻译也很紧张。那昨天我还在 revise 我的 PowerPoint。然后 Annie 哈，昨天也做到晚上12点1点，然后早上起来又继续的努力哈，大家就知道说这个问题看似简单，其实非常的不简单。
So I'm actually quite nervous, having to talk about the second chapter, and similarly the translator is also pretty anxious. We worked till pretty late last night, and so all these work goes into showing that. This question may appear to be simple on the surface, but it's actually quite profound.
那下卷呢，它其实主要坚净性菩萨问了两个问题。第一个问题，他说，云何开示求向大圣者进去方便？那看起来好像也没有什么嘛，就是说，我想要求大圣的人，我要有什么方便法？好，可以来修行。那我们都自称为自己是大圣行者嘛，好像也没有什么，反正就四圣第十二因缘啊这些。好，其实然后佛陀的回答看起来也好像也不难嘛，他说应当先知最初所行根本之业。好，这就是问题内涵就在这句话里面。
So the second half of the sutra is initiated by two sets of questions posed by firm, pure faith Bodhisattva. And the first question is, please indicate a viable way for the sake of those who seek the Mahayana pathway. And this question may appear to be very simple on the surface. All of us consider ourselves as Mahayana practitioners, and we seldom think about what exactly method would be considered as Mahayana. We may follow the Four Noble Truths or the 12 Dependent Origination, but beyond that, we seldom seek deeper, more specific understanding. And Buddha's answer on the surface also seemed to be quite simple, which is, one should first know the original initiative karma.
好，那这个问题就出在说，很多人发心想要成佛，走菩萨道，但是为什么都卡在中间，没有办法进去，前进，去向佛道呢？那我们菩萨有52个位阶，对吧？第一个是实性，我们连实性都登不到，就根本不要讲佛道了呢。所以这个问题主要说，那我们要怎么发菩提心，走求大圣的时候呢，怎么样可以一直前进，一直前进，然后最后去向佛道？那这个问题就是真的在一定要知道所行根本之业。
This question is actually very critical. Common problem that we face is that a lot of us have generated a Bodhi mind, and we vow to walk on the Bodhisattva path and to practice the Bodhisattva path. Yet we're often stuck in the middle somewhere, not able to make significant progress toward Buddhahood. So for Bodhisattvas, there are 52 levels of attainment, and the first 10 are the 10 faith. We're not even there yet. So what had happened? What are some concrete methods that would allow us to actually make steady progress on this path, and which is then related to we need to have real understanding and realization of this original initiative karma.
那根据偶遇智续大师在 战察善恶业报经书里面的注解呢，解释，他说，地藏王菩萨回答的最初所行根本之业，其实呢，就是在讲《楞严经》里面的最初方便。
According to the commentary, on the Sutra of Discernment of the Consequences of Wholesome and the Wholesome Karma, which was spoken and written by Master Ouyi Zhixu, he defined this original initiative karma as synonymous to the elementary steps that was talked about in the Surugama Sutra.
好，那对于不熟悉《楞严经》的的菩萨哈，对不起，我们这个 projector 哈有一点哈，《楞严经》最初方便呢，是来自于它的缘起，是因为也其实也是佛陀讲《楞严经》的缘起哈，所以坚净心菩萨的这个问题哈。跟阿难菩萨阿难呢问的问题哈、哦、有异曲同工之妙，然后他回答所要展开的内容呢，其实也要包含《楞严经》所的核心教导哈、哦。那《楞严经》就是对于没有读过《楞严经》的人哈、哦，我大概说一下，阿难是多闻第一，好、哦，那但是呢，他呢？去托钵的时候呢，被一个那个摩伽灯女哈，有一个摩登伽女，对不起哈，谢谢摩登伽女哈，就是那个叫做什么就是那种烟花女子哈，看上了我们这个相好庄严的阿难尊者，呵呵，然后他就施法哈，准备要让阿难尊者破功哈。就在那个非常重要的那个关卡那个时候呢，因为佛陀知道他有劫难哈，然后派谁去？文殊师利菩萨去救他哈，然后救回来的时候，他非常的惭愧，他想说：“我阿难哈，佛陀讲的东西我全听了哈，为什么就遇到一个摩伽灯女，我就没有办法了呢？摩登伽女，我就没办法哈，这样子。
So, what is this elementary step that's in Surugama Sutra? For those of you who are not familiar with the Surugama Sutra, the sutra is actually originated from a question and a story related to Ananda. And Ananda's question is actually similar or it's quite identical to the question posed by Firm Pure Faith Bodhisattva, which is also encapsulates the core of both sutra, the Surugama Sutra as well as the sutra of our focus at this present point. So what is the story of Ananda? For those of you who don't know it yet, Ananda is one of Buddha's disciples, and he's known for erudition. He's really well-versed in all the sutras and great memories of all the sutras. Yet one day he was out of the monastery and went to the town to beg alm, and he encountered a courtesan, whose name, Mo Deng Qie Nu, that's her name, and I don't know it in English. So this courtesan tried to entice him into breaking the precepts. And just at a really critical juncture where his precept is about to be violated, the Buddha is aware of this incident of what's happening, and he sent Manjushri Bodhisattva to rescue Ananda. And after Ananda was rescued and brought back, he was full of repentance, and he kneeled in front of the Buddha crying, saying, "Why is that I have memorized all the sutras and everything that you have said, yet I lack the ability to withstand the seduction? So how do I go about making significant progress in my practice?"
所以在阿难的 要问佛，请教佛说怎么我他要怎么修的时候呢，他知道他自己的定力不够，但是他又知道说他要修的不是小圣或二圣的定。好，因为小圣二圣的定我们称为摄摩他、三摩波迪跟陈那，所以他又不知道怎么问，所以他就说，那你可不可以佛，你可不可以教我那个最初方便，就是说这个方便法呢，他就问是就把它加一个妙字，就是妙摄摩他、妙三摩波迪跟妙禅那，来区隔小圣行者所修行的禅定。
So Ananda asked the question, but he knew his own limitations. He knew that the problem originated from his lack of samadhi power, lack of real wisdom. And so he asked the Buddha how to go about embarking on real practice. And he knew when he posed the question, he knew that he wasn't really asking about Theravada practice of Samatha, Samapatti, and Dhyana, those kind of practice. That's not what Ananda was after. He wanted to know what is the most profound Mahayana practice. So without knowing exactly how to phrase it, he asked the Buddha, what is this wondrous practice of calming the mind, Samatha, wondrous practice of contemplative insight, Samapatti, and this wondrous practice of meditation of stillness, which is Dhyana.
The third one. Okay. Is the consciousness.
Okay. So the third aspect is the wondrous practice of meditation on to contemplate true suchness. This is a correction of earlier translation.
佛就直接说，其实你要问的叫做守楞严定，好，你要修的就是守楞严定，好，这就是最初方便，好，叫做守楞严定。那楞严它的意思呢是什么？一切是什么？究竟坚固。好，我的电脑有问题，好，哎呀，对不起。然后实相呢是什么？究竟坚固的佛性。好，所以楞严其实就是在讲我们究竟坚固一切事哦，所有的世间一切现象啊，究竟坚固。然后呢，这个实相是什么？是我们究竟坚固的佛性。好，那这个坚固这个字，我们的坚净性菩萨的第一个字叫什么？坚固，好，它是这个坚固，不是我们一般讲的坚固，是讲楞严的坚固哦，所以我们从它的法名就知道说，它真正上卷要问的是信心坚固，下卷要问的是什么？坚固的佛性，哈。
So the Buddha answered Ananda, this method or this teaching that you're seeking after is.What you're seeking is called the Surangama Samadhi. And this is the most fundamental, elementary step to Buddhahood. And what is the meaning of Surangama? It means that all phenomena are ultimate and indestructible, which is the reality where, and this ultimate and indestructible thing is the Buddha nature.So this the word of ultimate and indestructible actually relate back to the name of pure faith, firm pure faith bodhisattva. Remember, we have talked about this name many times already, where firmness in chapter one, the first chapter, this firmness is talking about, is being discussed at the level of having firm faith. But over here, in the second chapter, it goes even deeper.What firmness is now referring to the indestructible nature of Buddha nature.
好，那为什么它叫守楞严呢？它意思是一切事情、一切事、一切世间现象，应该说是一切的现象，究竟坚固呢？好，其实就是在讲坚固的佛性这件事情哈。好，那最主要的 原因是因为佛性非因缘生，一切事情的现象我们都讲缘起，讲缘起就是因缘生因缘灭，那是讲一切世间就是无常变化的幻象，我们都用因缘来说明。但是佛性，大家第一个要记住，佛性非因缘生，它不是缘起的，它是本来就在那里，它无性无什么无生无灭，究竟不动，所以它就是在讲，其实我们的佛性是究竟坚固的。
So Suragama, the word Suragama again is referring to the absolutely indestructible nature in all phenomena, which is the Buddha nature. And the reason why Buddha nature is indestructible and ultimate is because it actually does not arise from cause and conditions, and it neither arise nor perish, and it's absolutely strong and indestructible. And so this is a very critical understanding that we must have.Because as Buddha Dharma practitioners or Buddha Dharma, we often talk about all phenomena arise from cause and conditions. That is an understanding at the phenomenal level of everyday mundane matters. But the Buddha nature does not arise from cause and conditions, and that is the reason why it's indestructible.
好，那守楞严定呢？它为什么究竟坚固？是因为它没有出入定。我们一般我们打坐不要讲定了啦，不要讲入定，我们一般打坐的时候要盘腿大概经过三四天，然后身心安定，对吧？但是呢，你一下腿一去吃饭，看到满桌子的菜，那你的定力就消失了，你的清安，你的这个身心安定马上消失了，因为你就开始拣择这个好吃那个好吃，然后是不是要再多吃一碗，整个就破功了哈，那你又要再花一两天的时间，好好的把自己的身心再把它专注在方法上，然后你又身心安定了哈。那比较高阶的修行者的话，他经过一个禅期，他入定，但是等他入，然后就觉得这个世间就是他都不起烦恼了哈。等到他出定的时候呢，禅期结束出定了之后，然后回家了呢。照样骂太太照样打先生就那你的定就没了吧所以我们的这种叫做方便定，就是说我们必须要靠一个东西把我们专注住了然后我们才不会被外境所干扰的，这种定呢叫做有出入定的。但是楞严大定呢，它是没有出入定的，它是佛常常讲的，就是一切时中常在定，他就是在不管做什么事情，在任何时候，在任何地方，跟什么人互动，在什么样的环境之下，他都在定中，这样的定才叫做究竟坚固。
And the reason why Suragama Samadhi is indestructible is because one is in the state of Suragama Samadhi, there's no entering nor exiting from the Samadhi, that you are actually part of the Samadhi or in the Samadhi at all time. This is very different from the kind of Samadhi or concentration that we talk about for us. Oftentimes when we enter a meditation retreat, after working hard for 3-4 days, perhaps you have attained some level of stability and concentration. But this samadhi, this type of samadhi or concentration is actually really shallow. As soon as you enter the dining hall, you look at the food in front of you. We jump out of samadhi immediately, thinking about, which dish looks good? Which one should I eat? Should I get another bowl? Or do I have enough? So you become very choosy, and there's no samadhi in that at all. For those people who are more seasoned with their practice, they may be able to enter a meditation retreat for 7-10 days and be in samadhi this whole time. But similarly, once they leave the retreat, return from the retreat to mundane, ordinary life, then they start interacting with people in the same patterns in the past, maybe having arguments with their spouse or whatnot. And there's no sense of talking about samadhi in those situations. So the kind of concentration of samadhi that we ordinary people experience is called expedient samadhi, where we rely on a particular method to anchor our thoughts, to focus us and to make us more stable. Whereas if you're really in Suragama samadhi, you are in samadhi the whole time, regardless of the kind of people that you interact with, the objects that you encounter, situations you're in, or the time of the day. Buddha has said this, that you are in samadhi at all times. That's a particular phrase. And that is what we're talking about when we say Suragama samadhi.
好，所以我们再回到这个，常常要回到这个经题。 还有呢，这个发问的这位代表性的菩萨，所以坚净性菩萨哈，坚净性坚固性清净的信心，在下卷里面，它代表的是什么？坚固性就是究竟坚固的大定，然后清净代表究竟清净的佛性，所以基本上就是在问，我们要如何修，这个。 这个所谓的究竟坚固的大定，然后能够来看到我们真的实相，这个真究竟的实相。So
we have to come back to the title as well as the initial point of the sutra again and again. And again, let's look at the name of the bodhisattva that initiated this entire sutra, which is solid, firm, pure faith bodhisattva. And in this second chapter, this firmness, solidity, or indestructiveness is referring to this profound samadhi that we are aiming for. And as for pureness, purity is referring to the Buddha nature. So basically, the second chapter is talking about how exactly do we go about with our practice so that we will eventually be able to attain this profound samadhi and which then in turn realize the one true reality.
好，那在楞严经里面讲哈，其实佛性呢在我们的六根里面哈，那里面有讲很多的故事哈，包括。 这个波斯匿王在问哈，说我看到恒河有没有？然后说怎样？然后说我现在都已经白发苍苍，面都很多皱纹的老人了嘛。那请问这个恒河在问哈，我们的这个本性。然后佛就问他说：“你的脸，你头发变白了啦，脸也变皱了。那请问你的见性有没有变皱？” 那答案当然是没有嘛，哈，所以不管我们在楞严经里面有介绍哈，六根六尘六识的修行法，最主要是说我们每个人都有六根，那佛性就在我们的六根里面，那六根的什么呢？六根的根性，就是我们的见能见的见性，能听的什么闻性，哈，就。
So in the Suragama Sutra, the Suragama Sutra talks about the Buddha nature is embedded, resides in the six sensory faculty. And that's why our practice, cultivation, must originate from looking into the nature of the sensory faculty. So there are different stories in the sutra trying to illustrate this point, and one of which is the emperor asking the Buddha, I have aged, and as I'm gazing at the Ganges River, I sense my own aging, and the Buddha then asks the emperor in return that, well, your hair is turning white and your skin is becoming wrinkled, but how about your nature, the nature that's able to see, able to perceive, has it turned white, become pale, or has it become wrinkled? And so there were a lot of similar stories in the sutra. Basically, it's saying that we use our six sensory faculties and six consciousness to interact with the phenomenal world, and the Buddha nature resides exactly in this nature to see, this nature of ability to hear. That should be the focus of our practice and investigation.
占察善恶业报经上卷哈，一开始就说这部经上卷是在讲什么？根据法门，还记得吗？六根啊的根据法门，就是说我们六根所造的各种恶业，好善业，那它到底的因善恶业报是怎么一回事？哈，就用上卷来跟我们讲这个根据法门。那下卷呢，就是希望我们从根性起修之后呢，去怎么样逆向操作这个根据，就说怎么样操作我们的六根，然后它是跟清净的实相相应的哈。那它的 key 哈，它的这个主要的一个掌握的，就是这个里面要讲的就是所谓的最初根本所行之业哈，就是说我们呢要以不生不灭的根性为因地心的修行，好，然后就会证到不生不灭的佛果。好，也就是说我们在操作我们的六根的时候，是要根据不生不灭的根性为主要的因地，好，来修行，而不是以人天福报或是以你有所求什么，你要求长寿得长寿，求什么快乐得快乐的那个当成你的因地，而是要以不生不灭的根性当成我们修行的因地，才能够我们讲因果嘛，才能够证到不生不灭的佛果这样。
So in the first chapters, first half of the sutra, of this sutra, the focus of the first chapter is onhow the six sensory faculties and six sensory consciousness interact and create positive and negative karma. But the focus of the second chapter, the second half, is on how we should turn around instead of looking at the interaction with phenomena, turn around to investigate the exact essence and nature of these sensory faculties. So, because the Buddha nature resides exactly in the nature of the six sensory faculties, which is neither arising nor ceasing, so that should become the causal ground of our practice. And by focusing on that, the nature of the six sensory faculties, then we will naturally be able to attain the fruit of Buddhahood, which in itself is neither arising nor ceasing.So basically, it's saying that we should not focus on the phenomenal level or just looking at the six sensory faculties, but need to return, to go back to the root, which is investigating the nature of six sensory faculties, which then will eventually lead to the profound understanding of one reality.
好，所以以上是在解释这个问题所包含的内涵。好，那接下来就要开始讲这个里面的内容了哈。那这个下章的章节里的下章的这个上半部哈，光在讲一时境界里面呢，它有三个部分。第一个呢，就是第一个问题的内涵里面有三个部分哈。第一个部分呢，是在介绍讲解什么是一时境界，好，让我们有一个完整的了解。然后第二个呢，介绍两种道观道。就是修定的法门，然后让我们的修行能够圆满。然后第三个部分呢，在讲说这个我们需要修的这个，万一我们这个业障生动还没有办法一时进入这个法门的时候呢，我们可以怎么样修三忍，然后最后呢，在修的过程呢，可以得到四种果位，这样子整个的 第一部分的问题就是介绍这三个内涵。
So as you recall, the second chapter focuses on two questions. And so the first half of the second chapter, everything I just talked about until this point gives you a premise of this first half of the second chapter. And now we're going to go into this second half. The first half. The first half then is further divided into three parts, which explains and investigates the nature of one true reality. The first part explains what is one true reality, and which will, by having an understanding, will lead to perfection of understanding. Part two is talking about the methods of contemplation, which will then lead to the perfection of practice. And part three talks about the three forms of forbearance and four levels of Buddhas, four regional Buddhas, attainments of Buddhas, Buddhahood. And that is for those of us who are not able to immediately realize one true reality. How do we go about approximating that state and go about with our practice to eventually then later on reaching the one true reality? And finally, with the perfection of practice, the kind of attainment that is achievable through this path of practice.
好，所以第一部分要讲意识境界了哈。这个意识境界要怎么讲？这个言语道断，对吧？我们常常讲真如啊，佛性是言语道断的。你只要想要用一个言语言文字符号来形容我们的佛性，那就都不是它，对吧？那我怎么可能以我的修行层次，我怎么可能去讲意识境界呢？哈，但是祖师大德，哈，也是要形容意识境界给我们知道，不然我们修行也不知道说到底这样走对路，走不对路嘛，哈，所以。各宗各派都会讲到佛性的时候呢，就是各凭本事哈，有的用力的，有的用破的哈，就反正就是想要让我们知道说我们现在都不是就对了哈。
So, first we're trying to explain the one true reality. But how can we possibly explain one true reality? The sutra talked about whenever we try to attach a symbol or using a language to explain this one true reality, it's moot, futile. Whatever we say, whatever we try to point at, that's not it. So given that's the case, and especially given my personal cultivation, how would I be able to explain this one true reality?At the same time, it is pertinent for the patriarchs in the past, for them to still, even though it should not be described by language or symbols, it still needs to be talked about so that people will know whether they're on the right path or not. So different schools of thoughts, different methods, are generated to try to either point at, explain, expound, or trying to negate, or through various means, try to explain what this one true reality is.
所以哈，这个我们在看经文的时候哈，看内容哈，有时候我们完全不知道经文在说什么哈。或是说不知道，完全不知道这个法师或是祖师在说什么，有两种状况，一个就是法师在这边他根本完全不知道那是什么，我就讲的你们完全听不懂。那另外一个是说，哎，见到一时境界的人，好，他超越我们世间好所有的逻辑现象的一个看法的时候呢，他说出来的东西就我们没有办法了解哈。那我们汉传佛教呢有一个很独特的方法哈，要来形容这个法，形容我们的佛性哈，还有形容一些很难以说明的事情哈，它还是要把它具象化。那这个是汉传佛教独有的哈的一套这个方法，它叫做体相用，它 任何一个境界也好，法也好，他就用三种面相体相用来说明。
So oftentimes, sometimes, when we read a sutra or when we listen to a talk, we may find ourselves being completely lost. We have no idea what is being said or what we're reading. That could be a result of two potential explanations to this kind of phenomenon, being completely ignorant of what's happening. One is that the person that's speaking or written a book, he or herself also doesn't know what's going on, and so what's being said doesn't make sense. Another interpretation could also be that the person has indeed realized one true reality, experienced it, or has seen it, and so they are beyond the level of transcending all logics and language. So whatever that's being said is difficult for us to decipher because it's a stage where it's not describable by language. So, but still, like we said earlier, it's still necessary to explain, to try to describe. So Chinese Buddhism has a very specific method of describing any type of dharma, Buddha nature, or any specific phenomenon. It's resorting to this categorizations of essence, form, and function. And this method could be used to describe any phenomenon or any dharma.
那就像我们科学哈，我们看不到，我们甚至看不到 H2O 对吧 ？CO2 看不见哈，那摸也摸不到哈，但是我们还是要形容它，对不对？那我们会告诉你说，哦，这个 CO 的这个间距有多长，对不对？它的能量有多高，然后它的乱度是多少？哈，它还是要用一组这个 parameters 来形容它哈，那就这个那分子看不见，原子更不要讲了。那现在最小单位是什么？据说我们这个粒子的最小存在好像夸克，是不是？啊，类似哈那种是所有的共通有的东西，哈，共通所有粒子共通有的基本单位。好像如果我还是 out of date 的啦，就是好像是夸克这样。
So an analogy can be drawn between this and science. Oftentimes we talk about H2O, CO2, those kind of things cannot really be seen by our eyes or by our physical eyes, or it cannot be touched. Yet in science, we still have to use a set of parameters to try to describe it. Talking about the distance between elements or the energy level that's emitted. So we use this set of parameters to describe H2O and CO2. And this can go down to the most fundamental of talking about atoms, and I think these days the consensus is the quarks are the smallest unit, that is the fundamental unit underlying or comprising all phenomena, all matters. And so that's the way, using a set of parameters, again, is a way for us to understand what these fundamental elements are.
好，那我也是在，因为我也没有开悟，也没看过意识境界是什么，但我就是想说用我的想象，用这次呢会用H2O 来当成一个同步的一个比喻，帮助大家了解呢这个经文里面它用体相用这三个面相来说明意识境界或是我们虚妄的境界，那它是怎么样的一个怎样的一个什么细切哈，大家才不会 confuse。 我第一次在读的时候跟 Annie 也同样的问题，说奇怪他为什么一直重复哈，其实他不是重复，他的因为他的深浅度不太一样。
And since I'm not enlightened, and I have never seen or realized this one true reality, But I'm still going to try to explain this, resorting to my own understanding, knowledge, as well as imagination. So throughout the lecture today, I will be going back to the analogy of H2O repeatedly, and drawing analogy, parallels between what we're trying to get at, this one true reality, and the way that science investigates H2O. The reason why for doing this is so that by drawing this analogy, we'll be understand exactly where we are in our discussion, in the explanation, and the relationship between different components of explanation.
所以这次的内容主要是参考 欧益大师的《战茶善恶业报经书》 的科判来跟大家分享这个经文是怎么样形容的。那主要欧益大师也是用体相用这三个面向来说明意识境界跟虚妄境界。那体顾名思义就代表一个本体，任何一个现象或是事物一切事相的 一个本体，就像说我有一个身体，这是我的身体这样。那像是什么？它表现出来的现象，比如说你们看到我这个身体，但是你也有一个身体，我有一个身体，但是我们两个就长不一样嘛。那功能也不一样啊，你会打球，他会写书法，有的人还会什么刺绣，每个人会的功能又不太一样嘛，所以
就是说，基本上就是用体相用来说明。So, the talk today's talk, this series of talk is mostly based on Master Oyi's commentary of this sutra, and Master Oyi also resorted to this classification system of a classification of essence, form, and function in trying to describe and make differentiation between the one true reality versus deluded and illusory phenomenon. And so, again, this system of classification talks about essence, form, and function. An example for essence would be all of us having this physical body. As for form, but the form varies. Our bodies, your body, my body, all take on different forms. And these different physical bodies also exhibit different functions. Some people excel in playing ball. Some people are really good with calligraphy, and some people may even be able to do embroidery. So these physical bodies exhibit different sets of functions.
那我同时也参考孟参老和尚的解说，对于经文的解说，也是非常的精辟的。At
the same time, I also relied on Master Meng Chan's explanation of the sutra, which is also very well articulated.
那接下去的内容会分成，它会同时比较真跟妄，但是 经文一开头要讲真妄比较的时候，他就告诉我们，真妄不二才是意识境界。不要以为说我们讲真实的境界就是真的，虚妄的境界就是假的，这还不是意识境界。真正的意识境界是什么？真，真如跟虚妄，它是一样的。所以在圆觉经里面有没有讲，地狱天宫 同为净土，不二，这才是意识境界。So
the following part of the sutra is going to heavily describe, trying to make a differentiation between what is true and what is false and deluded, with a caveat that in the beginning of the sutra they pointed out, while it's important to understand the distinction between the two, ultimately the one true reality transcends this dichotomy. And both truth and delusion are just one coin, the two sides of the same coin. So if you dwell on either side, it's still not that one true reality. And true reality actually encompasses both simultaneously. And this is similar to what is being the quote from the Perfect Enlightenment Sutra, where hell and heavenly palace are one and the same.
好，那现在哦，大家我要好好的跟大家哈分层了哈。刚刚一时境界不是有三种颜色吗？体相用绿色、蓝色跟红色，对吧？哈，现在要讲的是一时境界的体。好，如果我用原子来代表的话，用这个科学来讲的话呢，就是一时境界的体呢，就是在讲夸克，它是所有一切原子分子，就是粒子哈，它的基本的这个组成。好，那这叫做这个一时境界的体。然后我们要怎么来形容一时境界的体呢？它又分成三个 level， 叫做性体、性量跟性具。我光要解释，我们要光要了解一时境界的体，然后要用性什么？性体、性量跟性具，也是体相用来形容我们的心体。
So, now I'm going to start dissecting the sutra into using this classification of essence, form, and store. And recall the chart that you saw earlier, they're actually color-coded. Essence is coded in green, form is color-coded
blue,
and function is
red.
Mm-hmm. So we're now focusing on this green part, the essence of one true reality. So, again, using science as an analogy, this essence of one true reality will be similar, akin to quark, which is the most fundamental element of all the other parts, like atoms
particles,
whatnot. So that quarks is the most fundamental fundamental unit of all that. So that would, you can draw the analogies parallel, make a parallel between the essence. And so now we're focusing on this green part, the essence, but even within this essence, there are still three levels of classification that can be further divided into the quality of the essence, the quantity of the essence, as well as the competency of essence. So within essence itself, we're further dividing it into essence, form, and function.
好，那这边就直接好从经文里面剪下来的哈。他说，众生的心体从无始以来，它就是不生不灭的，它是自性清净，无障无碍，犹如虚空，因为它离分别故。哈，这个句子哈，很多经文都会有类似的句子哈出现哈。那它最主要的是在讲说呢，这个我们本性的那个心体哈，它不会因为说这个今天这个夸克哈，组成氢或是氧或是碳的时候呢，它那个夸克还是夸克，好，它不会因为说这个在水里面，在氧里面是大夸克，氢里面是小夸克，哈，就是说它有变相的夸克什么，它不是，它就是夸克，它到哪里去都是夸克组成的，好，所以就是不生不灭，它也不会说因为水跟氧碰在一起才有夸克啊，如果是它单独存在就没有夸克，不是的，它反正就是那个这个主要的这个哈，就是走到哪里去都一样，而且它就是在那里没有什么障碍的哈，你只要有看到，只要有存在的地方就是有它哈。
So we're going to go right in to talk about the quality of this essence. And this is a direct quote from the sutra. The one true reality refers to the true mind of sentient beings, which with inherent purity without hindrance has neither birth nor death. Like space, it does not differentiate but accommodates all, and it is equal and universal to all. So this is talking about the original nature, this one true reality. And to draw analogy, make analogy with science, quark, this is the essence is quark. And the quark doesn't change. It's the most basic unit, but it doesn't change whether you it's recomposed into carbon, into oxygen. Quark itself never changes. And whether these different elements interact with each other, becomes H2O, CO2, despite interaction and despite relationship of different elements, quark still remains the same. It neither arises nor perishes, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change in quality, doesn't change in quantity either.
对，所以最主要这个性体呢，这个 quality 是在讲说我不生不灭哈，它不像说我们今天假设我们要做化学合成哈，我们把这个东西加那个东西哈，哎，然后怎么样，加热加压加一点催化剂弄一弄，哎，一个新的 molecule 出来了哈，那叫做生嘛哈，然后我们再用想办法加热或是弄又把它 destroy 哈，又那个分子又不见了，就是灭了嘛哈，但是这个众生的心体的这个性体哈，它是不生不灭的，不会因为我们呢，现在是凡夫就没有，然后成为圣人才有哈，不是这个样子的。
So this essence of the mind, it never changes, and neither perish and doesn't arise nor perish. So it's not like as we're doing in the chemistry lab where we increase the heat or do increase the pressure and we can make a new molecule and then we do something else then the molecule breaks down. This quark never changes. The essence of the mind never changes. Regardless whether you are a ordinary sentient beings or you have attained some sagely, you're a sage or a bodhisattva, the essence of the mind never changes.
那至于性量是什么呢？好，就是它的本质是假设就是在那边不生不灭的，那它的量性量呢，哈，就是平等无二，无增无减，好，这个很像《心经》在讲的嘛，哈，就是刚刚讲的哈，夸克呢在氧分子、在氢分子、在水分子、在氧原子、氢原子、在水分子。任何一个 particle 里面呢，它是一样的，好，平等的，普遍，然后不增不减，不会变大变小，这样。
So what about the second level classification, the quantity of the essence? Remember we talk about the quality as being neither arising nor perishing, and as to the quantity, it doesn't increase or decrease. Then this reminds us of the Heart Sutra,where things, the Buddha nature doesn't arise nor perishes. So the quote is, with the ultimate one appearance, it is perfect everywhere in the worlds in 10 directions, non-dual and differentiation free, neither changing nor varying, neither increasing nor decreasing.
好，那楞严经里面讲哈，他说知色之时，知非是色，知声之时，知非是声，vice versa 下去六根，也就是说当我在看的时候，我在看东西的时候呢，那个看那个见性不是你看到的那个东西，你看到的东西会变来变去，可是那个不变的是我们的见性。那这个见性呢，在眼睛跟在耳朵跟在六根里面呢，有没有不一样？一样的，是平等无二的，无增无减。好，所以就是说在形容，用性量来形容这个我们心体哈，还有就是什么，我们的心哦，就比如说我现在是人对不对，好，这么这样一尊哈，然后大象很大对吧，蚂蚁很小对不对，请问我们的心体是不是大象比较大蚂蚁比较小？是，好，有一些印度教的学说是这样，他说灵魂之说 哦、他是说我们的灵魂、哦、在比较大的身体就比较大、哦啊、在比较小的身体就比较小。哎，不要笑哎，阿难的七处真心你们明白吗？第一个问心在哪里，他说在哪里，心在内，对不对啊？如果心在内啊，你那如果会回答说心在内表示什么，你大的身体不大吗？小的蚂蚁，你说小的蚂蚁的心跟你的心一样大吗？如果心在内的话，对吧，当然它足以被佛攻破嘛、哦、心不在内不在外不在中间、哦、七处真心，对不对？所以就是说这里只是告诉我们说，我们心体、哦、就算那个以后成佛、哦、好讨大一尊，对不对、哦、他的那个心体跟我们现在这个小小的人、哦、心体是一样的。
So regarding this quality of essence, we can relate this to the Surigama Sutra, where when you are perceiving forms, the form that's being perceived is not the nature. When you're perceiving sounds, the sound that is the object of perception is not the nature of the awareness. So basically, so on and so forth, they apply this logic to all six sensory faculties. So this is basically saying that our nature, the nature of awareness is not equivalent to the object of awareness. Okay? So the phenomenon that's being perceived, the object of perception, is not your nature per se. So this is also saying that whether it's applied in the eye, the sight, hearing, and taste, smell, whatnot, this nature stays the same. It's universal and non-dualistic, and it neither increases or decreases. It stays the same, constant, the whole time. So we can also think about the example of human beings versus elephant and ant. Does the nature change in size? Most of you said no, it doesn't. Well, you may find this analogy kind of humorous, but actually in India, there are schools of thought that believe the soul resides in the physical body, and thus the soul changes in size according to the physical body. And this then we can relate back to the Surigama Sutra, where there's this going back and forth of questioning between the Buddha and Ananda as to the location of the mind. And Ananda first said the mind is within the body. Well, if he believed that the mind is within the body, it sort of implies that the mind is inside the body, thus it will change according to the size of the body. And of course, Buddha later on refuted this argument and said that is not it, that's not a correct understanding. So this quality of the essence of the mind,
quantity,
it doesn't change whether it's the magnificent Buddha or us human beings. It never changes in size.
好，那第三个呢是讲心体的性具，好，表示它的它所要具有的功能是什么。好，那这边是讲最主要的一个句子是无染无净哈，因为我们前面第一个章节不是讲嘛，因为我们的业，我们做了很多业嘛，所以我们凡夫是染污的，有没有？然后呢，所以因为染污之后呢，所以我们今天即便我们去布施哈，我们都有所求，对吧？好，这就是染污的吧？哈，那佛菩萨是什么？三轮怎样？好，这个圣者布施是三轮提供哈，就很纯洁嘛，哈，纯净。那我们的发心就是somehow就是染污有所求，所以我们上半卷就在讲这个善恶业报嘛，好，就是这样子。但是这边告诉我们说，我们的心体哦，我们的这个本体呢，它再圣不增再繁不减，好，就是意思是说， 不是因为我们今天是凡夫哈，他说十法界哈，从凡夫啊、声闻、缘觉到佛哈，十法界里面哦，我们的功能是没有染污的，无染无净的，因为都是什么？因为都是我们的真心所变。好，这个你们常听过国兴法师讲有没有？就是那个叫做黄金的什么？黄金做的马桶跟黄金做的什么佛像啊，都是黄金做的吧哈，它的功能都是黄金的功能，虽然我们把它做成马桶，那圣者把它做成佛像，但是呢黄金无染无净，是这样。
And the next part is talking about the competency of the essence, and the focus of this quote over here is that it's neither tainted nor pure, and we need to have that understanding. And continuing from the discussion on the first chapter focuses on the positive and negative karma that have been created, and of course because we lack the understanding of one true reality, oftentimes whatever we do is it's not out of pure intention. For instance, when we are giving, making the offerings, oftentimes it comes with the mind, the desire of seeking something in return. That's our mindset when we are giving offerings. Whereas bodhisattvas and buddhas, when they give, they never ask for anything in return. Because it's originated out of the understanding that there's no subject, there's no object, and there's no phenomenon of giving. So the chapter talks about positive and negative karma and how do we go about for cleansing. Whereas the second chapter actually goes deeper to talk about regardless, the essence of the mind still doesn't change. It doesn't increase, it doesn't multiply when in a saintly stage, and it neither diminishes in the ordinary realms. So this is an analogy that you are probably very familiar with, where Guo Xing Fa Shi talks about repeatedly, where you use a lump of gold and the function, the gold could be used to make different things. Ordinary sentient beings, we use this lump of gold to make a toilet. And enlightened beings, bodhisattvas and buddhas, they use this lump of gold to make a Buddha statue. The property and quantity of this lump of gold never changes, but it has all different kinds of functions. But regardless of the function that it manifests, the essence is still not tainted nor pure.
那请问大家哈，那个海水咸咸的，对不对？河水淡淡的，对不对？臭水沟里面的水呢？臭臭脏脏的嘛，哈。请问里面的水有没有染污？那你们敢不敢喝？不敢。好，你把它蒸馏出来，里面的 H2O 有没有说那个 H2O 上面加了一个灰尘？没有嘛，哈，意思是这样，就是它无染无净。这个水呢，不管丢到哪里去，哈，它是没有染污的。好，只要你把杂质去掉，你就可以看到那个没有染污的水。啊，即便是在脏脏的水里面的话，是因为我们看不到，但是佛看得到吗？所以他看我们一切众生都是什么？都是佛哈，啊，都是佛哈，这不是乱讲的呢，不是。今天我虽然了解了哈，但是我也不敢说这个话，说你跟我是一样的，就是说蚂蚁跟我也是一样，他就是佛，我也是佛，他也是佛，我连我自己都不敢讲自己是佛，但是我相信我有佛的这个本性嘛哈，所以我要努力修行，但是因为我程度还没有到，但是佛要讲这句话是有根据的，好，所以当我们在看到很坏的人做坏事的时候。我们可以看到那 H2O 吗？还是我们都看到杂质？杂质哈，因为等一下我们就讲到什么叫做妄了哈？为什么是我们都看到杂质？
I'll use another analogy to illustrate my point. Seawater. Seawater tastes salty, and water in the river tastes, and it's not salty. And water in the gutter, it's kind of stinky and dirty. So are these water, different types of water, different? Are they different in essence? Do you dare to drink it? Okay, all three of them. So they may look different in appearance, but the essence of H2O, once you distill the water and boil it, distill it, the H2O essence is still the same. And Buddhas, because they have the realization, they are able to really see that all these type of waters are the same in essence. And that is why they're able to say that all sentient beings are indeed Buddhas. But that is not the kind of, that's not the phenomenon that we experience. That's not part of our experience. So even though I personally have this understanding intellectually, but I dare not say that you and me, we're all the same, or I am a Buddha already. But I do have this faith that I, my intrinsic nature is the same as the Buddha's, and that's why I'm on this path of practice. But for Buddhas and Bodhisattvas with the correct understanding, they are able to see that even within the impure water, the essence of H2O is the same. What we see is the impurity, whereas Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they see the essence, the purity part of the essence of the water. And why is that, that we only focus on the impurity and that Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are able to see the essence? We're going to talk about later, which is related to our deluded thinking.
我到目前为止是讲意识境界的体相用的体的三个面向，性什么？性体。 性量跟性聚来说，用三个面向来说明什么真心的心体。好，接下来要讲呢，妄心的心体。那第一，前面第一个要讲之前不是有讲吗？真妄怎么样？真妄不二。好，所以意思是说。 但是我们现在是在妄中，对不对？但是真心的心体跟妄心的心体是一样的，这是什么道理呢？那我们先来解释妄为什么会有妄心。So
far, everything that I've said is related to the essence of the mind, or essence of the nature, this one true reality. And then I further dissected into three to look at this essence of one true reality from three different perspectives, looking at the quality of the essence, the quantity of the essence, and competency of the essence. And now I'm going to turn to using this same method of classification to look at the deluded mind, deluded thought, thinking. With one caveat that always remember, in the beginning of the sutra, we talk about what is the reality and what is false. They are one and non-dualistic. So we need to, while going into the discussion of what is deluded thoughts, we need to have this non-dualistic understanding in the background.
那经文里面就直接讲，他说妄即空，接下来要讲是空假中，他说为什么妄心跟真心是一样的呢？因为它都不离空假中。那先就空来跟大家，分析一下我们的妄心是什么。那里面一讲就是说告诉我们觉知空，境界空。觉知空的原因是因为一切有心起分别者犹如幻化，无有真实。其实这个妄心是毕竟无体不可坚固。
So we're going to talk about deluded thoughts, which is intrinsically also empty in nature. And just recapping what was said earlier, deluded thoughts as well as the understanding of one true reality, they are in essence still the same. And why is that? We'll explain this by looking at emptiness and provisional existence as well as the mean of delusions. And so first we'll talk about awareness, or the subjectivity of awareness is empty. And the quote is, "The mind that differentiates is like illusions without any reality. One can search for the shape of the mind throughout all worlds in the ten directions, but can never capture it under one classification."
就是这里要讲的就是说 如果觉知是空的话, 那境界是不是空的? 观察者是空的, 那你观察到的境界也是空的嘛, 这逻辑是这样子的。 但是呢, 问题是为什么觉知是空的? 我们在这边看到人啊, 你可以说我是空的吗? 我明明就看到你啊, 齁。
So, over here we're talking about how the subjectivity of awareness is empty. And because of that, the phenomenon, the object of awareness is also empty. So both subject and object are empty. But then can we say our awareness is also empty? Is that within our experience? Well, there are actual people here, so how can we say that both subjectivity as well as objectivity are both empty? How does it work?
这里要说的这个觉知是非常细微的，是不是我们一般人可以看得见的？这个觉知是什么？就是《楞严经》里面所讲的一念不觉的觉知。 实话怎讲，孟参老和尚讲的这几个comment我很喜欢。他说呢，我们是楞严经讲是什么？一念不觉，就从应该是我如果没有记错，从名觉变觉明，然后就三系六出三合大地就出来了，大概是这样的意思。那什么是一念不觉？ 孟参老和尚讲说，其实呢，无明的原因是因为我们想明，所以变无明。<笑>好，因为你想要明嘛，你觉得你想要明一个东西的时候呢，其实你因为想明，所以你变无明了，然后就从明觉变成觉明。 然后就一念不觉了，因为你想明一个东西，你就有一个对象，然后你就会有从，比如说四分说来讲，你的正智正分，你启动的，你去 reaffirm 你的自证分，你想去明一个东西，就有能见跟所见，你就有见分跟相分了，这时候就是无明了。
So the kind of awareness that we're talking about here is actually very, very subtle, and it's usually not perceptible by us ordinary people. This kind of awareness that we're referring to is talking about this initial deluded thought, this initial lack of awareness that's leading to delusions. And so I really like Master Meng Chan, the explanation that he provided. Making the distinction between, because of this initial unawareness that what is illuminated awareness suddenly becomes, contains subjectivity and objectivity. And from that point on, sentient beings are created and the four elements are created and mountains and river arises. So to explain this further, delusion arises. What he said, Meng Chan, Master Meng Chan, what he said is, delusion arises Because from the initial thought of us wanting to illuminate something, by wanting to illuminate something actually leads to delusion, because this wanting to illuminate something creates the dualistic subjectivity and objectivity, where then all myriad of phenomena arises.
这个哈，在其实我觉得在日常生活中哈，这样的一个观察哈，其实是蛮有道理的哈。我看一篇文章哈，《绝友情》的杂志里面一篇文章写到哈，他写到说，为什么佛教会分裂成部派佛教？它主要的原因是因为想要统一，所以它分裂。佛教想要统一，造成的结果就是它分裂，对吧？你想要统一别人，谁统一谁啊？当你想要有一个很强的意识要统一的时候呢，不同的意见他就要开始坚持自己，然后最后造成分裂的结局。那世界和平是不是一样？我们一直说要世界和平，那请问谁跟谁和？这时候那我们要公平与正义，对吧？那公平由谁来断定？正义由谁来断定？当我们不断的强调这个的时候，其实是反而造成我们什么不明，就是反方向操作了哈。你本来想明，想明的心你就变无明，就是变成见分两个分开。你想统一就会造成分裂，好，你想要和平就会怎样，就来大家来吵嘛哈，公平与正义谁的对？
So this understanding, this explanation of deluded thought is actually created by the desire to illuminate, to aware, and thus creating subjectivity and objectivity. This understanding is actually quite applicable to our everyday lives. I read an article in a Buddhist magazine where it explains why was Buddhism divided into different schools of thoughts and different branches. And the reason provided in the article is that it was divided because of the intention, the desire to unify. And because you wanted to unify, the attempt to unify something necessarily is divisive. Who is going to unify with whom? Who is superior and who is inferior? Who should be subsumed under whom? So this division becomes more and more acute, and actually leads to further divisions. Similarly, world peace. We talk about world peace all the time, and justice and fairness. Who decides what is just and what is fair? And world peace, who is world peacing with whom? Who is going to be gained together and be trumping world peace? So this intention to unify actually creates more divisions. So similarly, going back to what we were talking about, this intention to illuminate, to be aware, actually creates this division between the subject of awareness as well as the object, phenomenon of awareness.
所以呢我们如果真的想要世界和平，怎样带来给世间的人带来和平与快乐，可能呢要在见解上与方法上呢再更超越于我们一般世俗的一个见解，然后才能够有一个智慧的方法让大家真的是处于什么和平与快乐 的环境。
So if we really want to strive and achieve real world peace, then I think we actually need to attain a transcendental level of understanding and using a transcendental way of achieving this world peace so that real wisdom is applied and so that everybody can indeed live in peace and harmony.
好，那 刚刚讲了哈，一念无明，对吧？哈，一念不觉，然后呢，就《楞严经》讲的三系跟六出，哈，那就是讲我们的心相哈。心相呢，哈，它有什么业相、转相，这样兜兜兜哈，总共有九个相嘛，哈，三个是很细微的，六个是比较粗的哈，三系六出。那我们这边刚刚讲四分。什么四分说的这个从正自正分自正分到见分相分这边呢，它在三系的这个部分很难察觉的哈、哦。从一念不觉就业相，就是第八识的自正分开始启动了哈、哦，然后就有转见分，第八识的见分是转向，第八识的相分是现象，然后一念不觉先启动三系相。在这个地方。
So because of this one unenlightened, one unaware, one deluded thought, then the six subtle marks and six coarse marks, three subtlety and six coarse marks then arises. This is what's talked about in Surgama Sutra. Earlier, I showed you this chart of the theory of the four aspects where, there's assurance of self-recognition leading to self-recognition and thus leading to subject and object, the division of the two. That chart, this flow chart of the four aspects ties together, fits into their three subtle marks of the six obvious aspects, the three subtle aspects and six obvious aspects.Where the subtle aspect of karma then turn into the forms of having subjective perceivers, which then objective world arises.
但是呢，回到之前讲的，他说妄即什么空，能觉所觉都是空的。原因是说，只要我们回归，哈，不。就是不要一念不觉的时候，它本就说，一念不觉其实就像什么，眼翳，好，就是《圆觉经》讲说，如果我们有非眼睛有非闻症，不是看到一朵看到花吗？空中有花飞来飞去，对吧？好，那请问这个花是真的假的？好，那你能不能说我今天吃了一颗药，非闻症好了，哎，花不见了？就是花，你本来眼睛有病，说花有了，然后吃一颗药，眼睛好了，说花没了，这样是对的吗？花从头到尾就没有存在过。好，那我们的一念不觉也是这样哦。好，一念不觉不是生见分相分吗？见分相分从来就怎么样？就像那个，如果我们的无明没了哈，就没有这个见分相分的这个什么虚妄境的。能锁了吧？好，是不是这样子？好，所以他才说这个妄的是空的。
So delusion is empty, and the subject of awareness and object of awareness are also empty. So using the eye as an example, if when your eye is not well, then you see some sort of illusions.Flies or flowers arising from midair, is this flower real or an illusion? It's merely an illusion. But once you have taken some medicine and this flower has disappeared, then can you then say the flower has disappeared? Actually, you can't because the flower has never been there to begin with. So, the same analogy applies to the division between subjectivity and objectivity, the subject of seeing, the object of being seen. Once delusion is gone, then there's no point of talking about this dualistic dichotomy between the two.
好，那接下来哈，我们尽量讲了哈，讲妄即假。好，怎么刚刚讲空对不对？假，然后还有一个什么？空假，还有一个中哈。那这边要讲说，其实妄是假的。那这边讲是两个点哈，就是依心，因为妄是依心而起，所以那个境界是假的。 然后那个心呢，是因为一因为境界而起的，所以心也是假的。好，所以呢，就是在讲说，其实我们的心，所谓的心，跟所谓我们看到的东西，好，境界哈，其实它都是假的，都是从心，以因为妄心而起的。
So we just talk about how delusion is empty. Now we're going to talk about delusion is provisional. It's a provisional existence. And it's interesting to contemplate this pair, that phenomenon are provisions of mind. All dharma are born from perception constructed by the false mind. At the same time, the mind is provision of phenomenon. So because, so there's this, the phenomenon arises from this false understanding, yeah, false understanding hinges on the observed phenomena. Because both of them are empty, so deluded thoughts are also provisionally empty in essence.
全部出来了吧？好，这个图哈是简图，哈，简单的图呢，其实在讲唯识学。用这个简单的图哈，在讲唯识学哈的八识哈，前五识，这个粉红色前五识，然后第六识、第七意识哈，第六意识、第七意识跟第八意识，在讲八识的相互作用哈。那主要在讲什么？一切唯心造。这边看到这个哈，这个方框里面的都是在讲心的八个面向哈。啊，这个远远的讲根生器界哈，就是根生就是我们这个身体，然后跟这个外面的这个物质的世界哈，就根生器界。然后这个是什么？心识哈，方方的是心识，圆圆的是根生器界哈。但唯识学就在讲说，这个根生器界是我们内心所造的。那这个内心呢，又因为什么？因为呢，第八识里面的意识的种子，好，还没有转世成智，所以它里面在牵动很复杂的一个机制哈。那但是用这张图哈，不是要来吓唬大家哈，最主要要跟大家讲刚刚哈，刚刚讲的是什么？心物假有没有？境界依心所起的境界，跟因境界所起的心的作用哈，它是。是假的，是唯心所造的。所以圆觉经讲托哈，我们凡夫是什么？妄认四大为自身相，就是这个根身有没有？四大所组成的这个身是我真正的身体。然后呢，六尘缘影，就是我六根接触六尘产生的这个六识的缘影哈，缘的这个。六尘嘛，哈，缘影，你缘他之后的心里的这个一些活动呢，认为是我们的心。好，比如说我今天很生气，我高兴啊，我恨你，我爱你啊，我怎么样哈，这是我的真心。其实它是因为境界而起的吧，的心理作用，它不是我们的真心。好，那外面看到的东西，其实是内心世界的什么显现。所以它是假的。
So this simplified chart is actually trying to illustrate. This is based on the school of conscious only school and a detailed flow chart of the A consciousnesses. And to talk about the synergy and interrelationship between all these different compartments. The bottom line is,What it's trying to illustrate is that everything is created by the mind. And as we related to earlier explanation, where phenomena are provision of the false mind, and the false mind is a provision of all phenomena, and these co-react with each other. And we falsely believe that the four elements are our actual physical body, and we see that as a self. And furthermore,as the six sensory faculties interact with the external phenomenon and the arising remnants or perceptions arising from this interaction, we took that as our true mind, whereas it's actually deluded and false.
那这时候我们刚刚讲三系对吧，刚刚第一个讲能觉所觉的，好，是讲这里讲什么六出啦，你们看到从业相，从这边前面三系之后，马上有什么第七世的我法执，好，开始有第七世的执着，第六世的执着，前五世的执着，就六出相就出来了哈。那所以第二个在讲假的时候，是告诉我们说，这个六出哈，因为三系的关系，所以这个六出所现的一切现象，它其实是假的，是为什么？为心所造的，心事所造的哈。
And because of everything, because relating it to the interaction of the three subtle aspects of the mind, then thus it gives rise to the six core aspects. And all of these is to illustrate that everything that we perceive is merely provisional and is a creation of the deluded mind.
好，那因为时间的关系哈，因为这个妄心集中哈，这个学问很大，好，两分钟讲不完，所以呢，我们留到下一次哈。那下一次把妄心的心体好来跟大家讲，最后总结还是什么？真心妄心的心体是什么？是不二的，好，然后我们才能够进入什么？我们心体的相。体相用的相跟用，好，那我们就下一次再继续。
So the next part is related to talking about delusion is the middle way. And this understanding is actually very profound and complicated. So with only 2 minutes left, we can't go into it. We'll reserve it for next time. The bottom line is all of this is saying, is making the point where the true mind and the deluded mind, they are one, their essence is one and the same. So next time, during the next session, we're going to talk about this middle way aspect of delusion, and then we will then be able to turn to the second part where we talk about the form of the essence.
The one true reality.
The form of one true reality, the second part.